I want us to notice in the 13th chapter of Matthew, verse 44, says the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he has, and buys the field. Now, there was treasure hid in the field, and he bought the field. But the treasure still had to be sought out. It's hidden treasure. And it is referred to in the Holy Scriptures as the unsearchable riches of Christ. I'm still thinking along the line of working out your salvation. Now this man buying this field with the treasure in it, I think of rather as a mining company buying a mine site or leasing a mine site. And sometimes they pay enormous sums of money for the mineral rights on a piece of property. My brother-in-law was a driller, and he worked for the Borix Mining Corporation at Boron, California. They were a subsidiary of the richest mining corporation on the North American continent. His work was to drill test holes to discover how much overburden there was, how far it was down to where the ore was, and how deep the strata of ore was. And then the company would decide where they wanted to extend their mines and develop their projects according to the findings. I was visiting there one day, and he was taking me out driving around over the area, and he pointed out a little house there, and he said, "Now, that house sits on 10 acres of ground that my company is trying to obtain, and they're offering $10 million for the mineral rights on that 10 acres of ground. The place was in litigation. The man's rights was being contested that lived there. He was a squatter. And they were contesting his rights. But that mining company was offering $10 million for that 10 acres. It was a rich ore deposit down under there. If they got that, I suppose they did by some means. But if they just left it lay there and didn't sink any shafts and run any tunnels, it wouldn't have been worth a nickel to them. They'd have just paid out their $10 million and there it would have sat. But that isn't what they had in mind. They had in mind to develop that. That's what you and I need to have in mind when we buy the field, is to develop it. There's a treasure hidden there. There are many hidden treasures. There are unsearchable riches of Christ. And when we obtain salvation, we're just getting started. We need to enter into our covenants with God with an idea of developing that and working that out. Actually mining out the unsearchable riches of Christ that are available to us. He bought the field. He found the treasure. It was hid in a field. And he went and bought the field. We have bought it too. But let us develop it. Let us work at it. Let us constantly, continuously increase our lives with the divine virtues and graces of Christ. Amen. And with those things that will strengthen us in the grace of God. Folks, we need to be in a position where we're abounding in the grace and love of Christ. I mentioned this morning that the more we are abounding in the grace and love of Christ, the more victory we have, the richer and fuller our lives are in Him, the less likely we are to be drawn away with temptation. Because we've got something we feel is worth fighting for. And if we're just struggling along and don't have much and don't love Christ much and short on grace and all, when something hits us, we're likely to feel like, well, what I have isn't worth fighting for, and be drawn away with something. One of our presidents, I forget, I was trying to get it in my mind just how he put it, but I believe that he put it that maybe some of you know, the best defense is a strong offense, or was it the other way around? But anyhow, the gist of it was that the best security consisted in being ready to protect yourself, defend yourself. And if you had a good, strong defensive position, that you had better security. You might never have to use it if you just had enough of it. And that's kind of the idea of what I'm talking about now. Just have enough on hand that you can feel secure when you meet the temptations of life. Abounding in the grace and love of Christ. Jesus told us in the 3rd chapter of Revelation, the 11th verse, He said, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Now the devil's out after crowns, and he'll get yours and mine if we don't watch. "Hold fast that thou hast, that no man take thy crown." I mentioned in the very outset of the discussion of working out your salvation that we're saved today, but we're not safe. We aren't safe until we land inside the portals of glory. We draw our last breath and enter the pearly gates, so to speak, that we're going to be safe. But the enemy is after every one of us. He'll get every one of us that he can. This is a thing that has to be worked at continually, perpetually. Never let up. There's no let up in it. No discharge in this war. And the working out of your salvation is a lifetime job. In Ezra the 8th chapter and verse 29, now we might take a little resume here of the circumstances leading up to this particular verse, what he said here. Ezra has been commissioned by the king to go up to Jerusalem and deliver a vast quantity of store and supplies, gold, silver, brass, vessels of brass, vessels of gold, for the ornamentation and use in the reconstructed temple that's being built up at Jerusalem. Now, he has a vast quantity of this. The problem now is getting there with it. Travel was hazardous. Bands of bandits and Bedouins laying wait along the way to fall upon any caravan that was coming through and rob them of their treasures. Now he said, I was ashamed to ask of the king a band of soldiers to help us on our way, because I'd been testifying to him how the hand of the Lord was upon all them for good that fear him. Ezra valued his testimony. God help you and me to value ours. And that when the time comes to prove our testimony, we will value the testimony we've given until we will seek our help from God and Him only. And Ezra said, I'd been talking to the king about how the hand of the Lord was upon all them for good that fear Him, and I was ashamed to go ask Him for some soldiers now to escort us up there. So he said, we just gave ourselves to fasting and prayer down by the river Ahava to seek a right way of our God for ourselves and our children. There was quite a company of these folks, and they had a vast quantity of valuables, treasures. And he said, the Lord was entreated of us, told him what to do, told him to call the elders of Israel and separate them out and divide this treasure in quantities to each one. So he did this, and then he gave them a solemn charge. He says, you watch this and keep this till you weigh this in before the high priest in the house of God at Jerusalem. So they made their journey and they arrived in Jerusalem, and after they had been there on the third day, they weighed in. Every man came up and weighed in what he had brought. Now the way this revolves in my mind is that when Ezra weighed this out, measured it out, to the elders of Israel and delivered each one his portion, he made a note in a book of what everyone had. Now, they come up to Jerusalem and they have to weigh in before the high priest up there and said that was entered in a book. Think of it this way, it was for the purpose of comparing notes and seeing if every man got there with all he is supposed to have when he got there, with what was issued to him when he left the river Ahava back there. So they weighed in at the end of their journey. Now, the thought is, you and I have a journey to make. And at the end of our journey, we'll weigh in before our high priest, Jesus Christ. Certain things are being measured out to us. Light and truth and love and grace and faith and different things are being apportioned out to us. Oh, you say, I don't see it that way. Well, God said he gave to every man according to his several ability. Some have more and some have less. Every man according to his several ability. He says, I exhort you to not think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, he's measuring out to you and me. He said he spake to them and taught them as they were able to hear it. And some are able to hear more than others are. Some are able to receive more than others are. And God is weighing out and measuring out to each one of us measures of light and truth and faith and grace and love and so on. When we get to the end of our journey, we're going to have to weigh in before our high priest to see if we got there with all that he's measured out to us along the way. There were some folks that didn't. The second chapter of Revelation, verses 4 and 5, is Jesus Christ's message to the church at Ephesus. He commended them for a number of things, but he says, I have one thing or somewhat against you, because ye have left your first love. How did he know they'd left their first love? Simply because he was the one that had given them their first love. He knew how much he gave them, knew what they had, and knew they didn't have that much now. He knew that. It's up to you and me to keep pace with God. Keep up to date with him. Hold fast that you have, that no man take your crown. Hold on to everything that God gives you and me and let nothing slip. I emphasize the thought that working out your salvation is a lifetime job, and you'll never be through with it till you draw your last breath and land inside the portals of glory. And it's not only a lifetime job, but it's a steady job. We have one of our songs that says, "Watch and pray, the tempter may be near us. Keep your heart with jealous care, lest the door a moment left unguarded, evil thoughts may enter there." It's a steady job. It's a continuous job. God wants you and me to be sincere about what we're doing and to serve him in godly sincerity. Watch this. Keep this. Till you weigh it before the high priest in the house of God at Jerusalem. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and verse 17, He says, for these light afflictions. This is Paul. Read the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. See the things that he endured for Christ's sake. See if you would call them light. But he called them light. The only way he could call them light was that he was comparing with something that he had a vision of. Now you and I need a vision, a good, clear, clean-cut vision all the time of the spiritual and eternal things of God. And just keep things moved out of our way that blurs that vision or hinders that vision or obstructs it in any kind of way. Keep those things moved out of the way. We need a vision. Paul had a vision. And on the basis of that vision and the comparison of what he envisioned, he said these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen, the focus of our vision, the direction of our vision is an important thing. That's up to you and me to control that. And just not allow our vision to wander off on worldly things and the material things of earth. Now, Paul was a man who had learned a secret. God help you and me to learn it. We have the same teacher he did. The Holy Spirit taught him this. We have the Holy Spirit to teach us. God isn't going to do these things for us. The work of the Holy Spirit is to guide you and me. And he will guide us if we'll follow and then empower us through the operation of the Spirit of God in us to do the things that he leads us into. But we can't just sit back and say, well, the Holy Spirit's going to do all this. I don't have anything to do here. But we have a job to do. The Holy Spirit guides us in doing it and empowers us in doing it. But our salvation, as I mentioned this morning, is a cooperative work between us and God. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And right in the very next statement, he says, for it is God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. In other words, you work by letting God work in you. Work out your salvation by submitting yourself to God and allowing him to work in you. But the thing that Paul had learned, and God help you and me to learn it, we must learn it if we're going to be successful in this life, was to have everything that happened to him in life working for him. Those shipwrecks he got into, those imprisonments he had, those chains that he wore, and those fastings that he went through, and those times of want and distress and need and diversities that he encountered, he just learned to have every one of them working for him. Are you the master of your life? You can be. We can learn the same things that Paul learned. We have the same teacher. And we can learn to make everything, the unpleasant things, the undesirable things, the bad things, make them work for us too. Everything work for us. These light afflictions, which are but for a moment, work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God can enable you and me to master our circumstances in life and rise above them and have the victory over them and make them work for us. In Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verses 12 through 14, the Apostle Paul said, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after. I'm working at this. I'm pursuing this." I remember, I believe this was David said this. He said, "Faint, but still pursuing." He was out there going after something. Paul was going after something. He was pursuing a definite course and aspiring to a definite objective that he was seeking to gain. "I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." He was pressing on to something, but he had to lay aside some things. And what he laid aside was the things that are the most difficult for you and me to lay aside. Forgetting the things which are behind. Things that are past. God help you and me to learn that lesson. The Holy Spirit taught him. Let us submit ourselves to be taught by the Holy Spirit. The secret of forgetting, putting away from us, casting off from us the unpleasant things that would be a weight and a hindrance to us. We're told in the Scriptures to lay aside every weight and run with patience the race that is set before us. And the things that people are remembering from way back yonder, and it doesn't make any difference whether it's way back yonder or whether it's yesterday. The things that people are remembering are weights to them. It's hindrances to you in your spiritual life. Paul had learned to forget. God help you and me to learn to forget. Amen. I heard someone talking a while back about somebody that couldn't forgive. They just couldn't forgive. And the other party said, "Well, they better learn to forgive. Not going to make heaven without forgiving. Better learn to forgive." Folks, if you have a problem at this point or any other point, work at it. Work at it. Work out your own salvation. Your salvation is involved right in there. And the things you're remembering that's happened to you back down the line, they're hindrances to you. Work them out. God can help us to do this. Somebody says to me once in a while, they go to rehearse something that's been unpleasant back in the past, and I say, "Well, I don't remember that." "Why, you don't remember what them people said to you?" "No, I don't remember." "You don't remember how they treated you?" "No, I don't remember." I say, "I didn't intend to remember that. I intended to forget that. If all of the unpleasant things people have said to me and the unkind treatments that people had given me, if they had all hanging on to me, they'd be holding me back considerable. I just don't intend to remember. I don't try to remember things like that. If they hang on me very long, I kind of get to work on them. Forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. I think I've told you time or two about Brother Charlie Forbes. He lived down there in Southern California. And he'd had some unpleasant things back in Oklahoma where he came from. He'd been out in California for a few years. And someone who was familiar with those circumstances back there was in California, and they went to visit him, and he was dying with cancer. And they brought up something about this and kind of edged in on it a little. And when Brother Forbes saw the direction they were going, he said, "Now, I just don't want to hear any of that." Says, "I'm too near the end of the way now to have my mind disturbed with those kind of things. I just don't want to hear any of that." And they were speaking sympathetically with him about the mistreatment that he had gotten and the unpleasant things that had happened to him. But he realized, "I'm too near the end of the way now to be bothered with anything like that." Now, folks, you and I are too near the end of the way. We may not be dying with cancer, and we may not be dying with anything. But wherever we are in our journey of life, we're too near the end of our way to have our minds upset and disturbed by those things that's happened back there and dragging those things along with us. If we aren't able to forgive those things, we better get able. We better work on that and press our way toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Folks, there's a lot of work from a lot of different angles to be done on your salvation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul said, now this was the case where he had received a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. He prayed three times for its removal. He didn't like it there, and he wanted it removed, and prayed three times for it. And the third time, God answered him and said, "My grace is sufficient for you." Well, he understood from that that it was God's will for him to have that. And God made him know the purpose of it. What he let him have it for. When he understood that, he just submitted himself. And he said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, for when I am weak, then am I strong." Folks, the very best thing that you can do in your problems of life is to submit yourself to God. Just let God work His works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. whatever it takes for me to abound in the grace and love of Christ and to have that kind of victory that I can meet any situation in life and not go down under it. I glory in that. That's what he's saying. He's working on his salvation. Submitting himself to God. He understood it was God's will that he have that. Brother Trimble down at Pomona. Some of you folks know him a little. Clifford and Patsy and I knew him real well. They knew him better than I, maybe. But he said in his younger days he was a very proud man. And said one of the things that he was proud of was his walk. And he said he'd walk along the sidewalk and look in the show windows and watch himself walk. He was proud of his walk. Well, the time came when he got crippled in his feet. And his ankles, and they just kind of rolled. And he couldn't stand. He had to lean against something if he stood still. He could walk, but he just kind of swung his feet when he walked. He said he prayed about that and prayed about that till the Lord answered him one day and said, just leave be. Then he reflected on how proud he used to be of his walk. And he just submitted to God and says, I've never asked him to heal my feet again. Not anymore. He understood what the objective of it was and why he had been stricken that way. And he said, I never prayed another prayer about that. I just leave it alone. He's working out his salvation. Pride would have destroyed him if he'd have had his way. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Then in verse 10 he said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You and I have the same teacher. Let us learn those lessons. Paul was working out his salvation. He's the one that gave him a text. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It is Paul that said that. And he's telling us just how he worked his out. In 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, in the 27th verse, he says, but I keep under my body and bring it in subjection, lest that after I have preached to others, I myself might be a castaway. He's working on his salvation, keeping himself under control, keeping his body and bodily appetites in subjection. And fearing that if he failed to do that, he would be a castaway after preaching to other people. After giving me my text. After admonishing us all to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, he might miss it. But he realized the importance of keeping himself under control. And keeping himself down and keeping himself submitted to God. In 1 Corinthians 15, chapter and verse 31, he said, I die daily. It was a continual thing with him every day. He was just dying out to self-interest and self-planning. Everything that originated in the self, he was dying out to it. Daily, I die daily. Working in his salvation. You and I must do the same thing. And just follow a diligent course. And then he wound up at the end, 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 6. He says, "The time of my departure is at hand, and I'm ready." I can see why he was ready, can't you? And we see how he diligently worked at his salvation and how he diligently put things out of his life and kept his body down and submitted himself to God and forgot the things that were a hindrance to him and all those things. I can see why he was ready when the time come. "The time of my departure is at hand, and I'm ready to be offered. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I've finished my course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all those that love his appearing." That reaches us. Reaches down to us. God help us to work faithfully, persistently, and steadily at our salvation until when our time comes, which it surely will, we too can say, "I'm ready." Amen.